We've shared a lot this morning, and it's been really cut down. You maybe don't believe that, but it has been really cut down in terms of it's really difficult for us to know what to share. And when I've been trying to process a little bit about what we saw when we were in Cambodia, about the people that we met, about what it means for me personally, living life here. For those of you who maybe aren't thinking, right, that's great, I'm going to get in a plane to Cambodia at some point and go and serve there. And when we saw this reading the Beatitudes, it's something that we're all really familiar with. It's something that's countercultural. It's something that would have been unexpected for the people. It's countercultural for us today. Blessed are the peacemakers, not blessed are the rich and the powerful. Jesus affirms in the Beatitudes a welcome to everybody, without exception. We know that. We experience that. We as a church want to be a church that is sharing that with the people in Stirling. We want to be known as a body, as a people who are living that out, who are welcoming. They're not commands. They're not required standards before we're accepted. They're kingdom values. It's a manifesto to live by. As we reflect in our lives to others, the transformation that God has done and is doing and will continue to do in us personally, in us as a church fellowship, in CHO. And when I was kind of thinking about this a little bit more, you can put on the picture. When we were away, there were two people, Chomno, and Chomno's in the middle, and to his left, so your right as you're looking at it, is a man called Ratana. And Ratana was our driver. He took us, he spent every day driving us around Poi Pet. His English was broken. He was a translator for us at some points, but he didn't have the best of English. But Chomno shared with us how Ratana, so Chomno himself, for those of you who know, survived the prisoner of war camps, okay? He lived, he escaped, he survived, he managed to stay alive through the Khmer Rouge regime. He was one of the prisoners. Ratana was on the other side. Ratana was one of the soldiers. Ratana was one of the people who would have killed innocent people, ruthlessly, in cold blood. And actually, when I've been processing this as I've come back, that has been my biggest challenge. To see how God can take two people from two totally different extremes, bring them together by the love of Jesus. They don't see each other as a victim or as an assailant, if you like. They see themselves as brothers in Christ. And it challenged me to think, when I read the Beatitudes, when I look at this, how many people do I actually look at? And I make judgments. I have preconceived ideas about what they're doing in their life or where they're going, or are they really ready to be a Christian? And it challenges me. These two men have such joy of the Lord. Spend time with any one of us who was there and we will reflect that about everyone. These guys are peacemakers. These guys have a vision to see transformation in Poi Pet, in the nation of Cambodia. They have a vision to see transformation for us. They're praying for us as people. So what does that mean for us this morning? Just got three quick points in terms of applying this. Our part. I didn't want you to leave this morning thinking, okay, that's great, that's brilliant, but what does that really mean for me? I want you to leave this morning thinking, okay, how am I going to live out those Beatitudes more? And it's a challenge to me. I'm working that out for me. How can I, in my community, with the people who I do life with, who are not yet Christians, who I believe one day we will see their salvation, what am I doing now? How am I committing to that from now? And one of the big things is prayer. We can pray for CHO, we can pray for that organization as we partner with them, but we can pray for our neighbors, for the people that we do life with now. Are we really on our knees before God, praying for the souls of people who currently are out with the love of God, who don't know? Chomno and his team start each day in prayer. Many of us will spend time in prayer. I know that. Sometimes our prayer life is stronger than others. Sometimes it's all about us, and it's all about what we need and how we're going to get through. Maybe God's saying to us this morning, individually, corporately, we need to change the focus of our prayer life. We need to change how we're praying. We need to change our expectations. We need to raise our expectations in our prayer life. How much do we rely on our own strength at times and we don't turn to prayer? How many times do we see ourselves as the solution to a problem instead of really taking it to God? Is it just when we are at our wit's end, or is it all the time? I'm working through it as well. I just see this as a challenge for us individually and as a church as we move forward to think more about prayer and what that means for us. God's given us wisdom. God's given us insight. God's given us, blessed us as a church to partner and support too. But is it just going to be a partnership? Or are we going to see transformation in Cambodia? But at the same time, are we going to see transformation in ourselves? And are we going to start to share that love with others? Secondly, are we going to start to go deeper and raise the bar? I think in the West, we become a little bit complacent at times. It's all too easy. On Friday afternoon, Connor was very glad that I decided to clear out my shoes. And I am ashamed to say that I probably gave away 30 pairs of shoes on Friday afternoon. If you look in the cupboard, you're probably thinking, whoa, 30 you gave away? Well, what about these lot, right? You know, and maybe there's lots of women who can relate to that and frustrated men, okay? But it was really therapeutic at the end of it. Halfway through, I am standing in our living, in our bedroom, and Zoe's having a sleep. My back's getting sore. I'm thinking, oh, this is just exhausting, trying to find matching shoes. And I sat down for a minute, and it was like God, like, pointed a finger at me, kind of prodded me and said, oh yeah, Joe, first world problems, eh? And it was like a total reality check. It was just over 2 weeks since I'd been home, back from Cambodia. And it's like, man, I've become complacent. How many times does that happen? How many times do we give up on our prayer? How many times do we say, God, if you're not going to come through in this, that's it. I'll not pray about that anymore. I'm not committed to that anymore. Am I content to know that me and my family, my immediate circle, some of my close friends are going to heaven one day and have that hope? Does that mean then actually the people that I do rub shoulders with every day, the people I work with, the people, my neighbours, that actually I'm unwilling to almost bring that hope to them, to share that with them, so that they too can experience that love? Am I, are we really prepared to live out these kingdom values, live out this kingdom manifesto of the Beatitudes? It'll mean sacrifice of us, of our families. It will mean sacrifice of our time, inevitably. But is the end goal not going to be better? And thirdly, working together. We're not going to do this in isolation. We're going to do this as a group. We're not going to see Cho and that organization flourish as 5 or 6 people. It has to be all of us. But equally, we're not going to see Stirling, Dunblane, Doon, Callander. We're not going to see the nation of Scotland changed unless we work together on this. Unless we set aside our agendas, our hang-ups, our preconceived ideas about one another, about how people have got it sorted and how could we possibly have anything to offer because, you know, they're so much better than we are. All of these thoughts that hold us back to seeing the kingdom manifesto fulfilled. Let's get alongside each other. Let's encourage, let's empower, let's release each other. But let's underpin it with prayer. Individually, corporately, and let's underpin it with us going deeper with Jesus. Final slide. This week, Ice Bucket Challenge, not even this week, it's gone viral, right? The power of social media. The whole thing behind the Ice Bucket Challenge is obviously to raise money for charity. It started as raising money for motor neuron disease, ALS, in the US. I know that people are now giving to many different charities. I should have maybe researched how many millions of pounds have maybe been donated, but I wasn't that organized, sorry. But people are on board with this. People are passionate about this. People want to see the fact that they can help others. They want to do that. They like that feel-good factor. But when that feel-good factor goes, what have they got left? John 13, 34 to 35. This is my command that I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. It's got to underpin everything. So imagine if we as a church, if we could send a viral message, like the Ice Bucket Challenge, a viral message of love into our town, our communities, our nation. What's that going to look like? So this morning as you leave, I want you to be challenged about how you can maybe play a part with CHO. I want you to be excited about what we're doing there as a church as we stand with them and as we partner. But I want you to go into this week and I want you to read those Beatitudes again. And I want you to stand before God, sit, kneel, however, and really see and really assess, am I loving people? And I say this as much to me. Am I really loving those kids that are going to come into my classroom tomorrow morning? Or this, am I going to have a short fuse the minute they wind me up tomorrow morning? Or am I going to show them love differently? Am I going to let Jesus shine through me tomorrow morning, even when I'm thinking about a million and one other things I'd rather do? Am I going to live out that kingdom manifesto this week, this month, this year? Am I going to see that transformation? And I pray that as we think about that individually, corporately, that we start to get that. We start to go deeper. We start to get more fired up. And we start to see that transformation. Can we just pray? Father God, I thank you for the things that we have seen in Cambodia, for how exciting that is for us as a church, for how exciting it is to think that we can influence the DNA of the church within Cambodia. God, what a responsibility. What a challenge. Father, it's because you blessed us. But God, guard us from complacency. Father, help us to really seek you in prayer. Help us to go deeper and to move beyond the status quo. Help us to raise that bar with you, Jesus. Individually and corporately. Father, help us to send that viral message of love to a world that really needs to hear. Help us to bring that hope, God. Father, may we be your servants. May we hear you. May we let you use us. May we let you mold us and chip away the things that need chipped away. Father, we thank you that you're gentle and you're gracious and you're kind and you're loving and that you've got the big picture. Father, help us this morning to partner with you more. In your name.